Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Great to see every single one of you in church today. Are you ready for God's Word? Telling you the Word of God is the most important word you'll ever hear in your life. And as you get ready to dive into God's Word, hey, may your heart be open. Come with an expectation. God is going to speak to you today and is going to do something amazing in your life. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. And each time we turn to your Word, Lord, we know that you are going to speak to us. So we come with an expectation that we're going to hear from you. And I ask, Lord, that you'll anoint your Word and anoint me as I share your Word, that everything that happens will be for your glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen and amen. Last week, we concluded just the 2-week series that we were doing on community that stemmed out of our vision weekend, as we understood from the Word of God that each and every single one of us has been created for community, but as well, each and every one of us has been called to care for community. That's at the core of our vision as Watoto Church. We celebrate Christ and we care for community. And I'm so thankful to everyone that signed up to be part of CEL. And I know that through our small groups, we really are going to bring healing to the city and to the nation. And so starting this weekend, we kick off with a new series, and we're calling this series Empowered to Serve. Empowered to Serve. Because you see, through our small groups, our desire is to care for our communities, to serve our community, is to step out into our families, our workplaces, and ask, how can we serve you? And our desire is to bring the culture and the character of Christ, the influence of Christ wherever God has planted us, and we trust God to empower us to serve our community. There is a clear call from God on Watoto Church to be a transformational church. A church that serves our city and our nation. And to do this motivated by the power of the life-changing love of Jesus. And our desire is to see healing and transformation come to every sphere of our nation's life. Now, you and I must recognize that being part of the process of bringing healing to our city and to our nation is a privilege. It is a privilege, and we get to be a part of it. Now, I know that when we look at the brokenness in our communities, when we look at the dysfunction in our city, the pain and confusion that people carry, and the things that are not going right, it's easy for us to give up and to say, man, this thing is never going to work out. It's easy for us to lose heart. But you see, that is the easy way out. That is the easy way out. For you to lock yourself in your own private world and say, hey, you know what? This thing is never going to work. Your solution is to find a green card out of here. Look to other nations and say, hey, you know what? I'm out of here. God has given us an audacious vision as Watoto Church to bring healing to our city and to our nation. It's a great vision. And sometimes it may seem overwhelming that the little things that we are doing together ever going to end up in transformation. And I think about the disciples of Jesus when he was leaving and had left them with this great commission that we read in Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Jesus speaking to them saying, now go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. These guys must have been quite overwhelmed. How do we influence the nations of the world? And they faced so much persecution and there was difficulty all around them. They were overwhelmed. And Jesus understood the magnitude of the assignment he had called them to. So this is what he said to them in Acts chapter 1 verse 4 to 5. And we'll also read verse 8. Because he understood the magnitude of that task, he said, scripture tells us, while being together with them and eating with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem. He told them, do not leave Jerusalem. But wait for what the Father has promised, of which, he said, you've heard me speak. And you know very well in John 14 and John 15, he talks about the Holy Spirit. For John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized and empowered and united with the Holy Spirit. Not long from now, you will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses to tell people about me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. Knowing that there was this great assignment ahead of them, Jesus says, wait until you receive the Holy Spirit. And indeed, friends, as we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, that promise was fulfilled. The Bible tells us when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like a rushing, violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were being distributed among them, and they rested on each of them as each person received the Holy Spirit. And they were all filled, that is, they were diffused throughout their being with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, different languages, as the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak clearly and appropriately. He promised, and that promise was fulfilled. The day of Pentecost came and they received the Holy Spirit. It was a historic moment in the life of the church. And in the days that followed, the enablement and supernatural ability that came upon those believers was nothing like had been seen before. And on that day, Peter preached the gospel in Acts chapter 2, 39 to 42. We see him declare the gospel and men ask, what must we do to be saved? That day, 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus. They had only just begun. The Holy Spirit began to unleash supernatural gifts into the lives of the apostles and believers who went on to serve their communities and have massive impact for Jesus. And today, we experience the benefits of that. Of course, Joel prophesied that in the last days, God will pour out His Holy Spirit upon all flesh. And we are living in that day where God wants to pour out His Holy Spirit upon all flesh, just as He did on the day of Pentecost. Why? We have a great assignment and we cannot carry out that assignment in our own power. We need the power that comes from Holy Spirit. We need the gifts that come from Holy Spirit so we're able to serve our community. You know, our vision is God-given. It's not just Gary and Marilyn's idea. This is God's idea, calling us to be a church that is bringing healing to our city and to our nation. We cannot accomplish that assignment by our own might and power. We need Holy Spirit power. We need Holy Spirit power. I think about this show on TV called The X Factor. How many of us have watched The X Factor? In that show, what the judges are doing is that they're looking for this unique ability in an individual that can set them apart to be a global star. Can I tell you that Holy Spirit is the X Factor? He's the one that sets us apart. Listen, every single one of us is very normal. All of us are just natural. But when God adds His super to our natural, supernatural things begin to happen. Holy Spirit steps in and makes all the difference. He is the X factor. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to take time to understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And how Holy Spirit releases His gifts into our lives so that we can serve our community. But starting today, understand who Holy Spirit is. Because, you know, one person told a joke of people who carry or who have multiple relationships. When their phone rings, there is, you know how people save people's names in their phone books? When the phone rings, one is called movies, another is called popcorn. And now it's called pocket money. And they're chasing after the things that this person gives, but their heart is not with them. We don't want to be believers like that. We want to understand who Holy Spirit is and fall in love with Holy Spirit because He's going to release these gifts into our lives. He wants us to serve our communities and bring the influence of Jesus wherever we are, but first we've got to know Him and love Him. So who is Holy Spirit? Number one, Holy Spirit is God. He is fully God. He bears all the attributes of God the Father and God the Son. They exist in the perfect Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, there's an account in Acts chapter 5 A story told of a couple, Ananias and Sapphira. These guys sold some land and hid some money. So they were rebuked by Peter on that day. He said to Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not just lied to human beings, but you have lied to God. And Peter helps us understand something so amazing, that Holy Spirit is God. He is not the executive director of the Trinity. He is fully God. And so he asks Ananias, Peter says, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? You have just lied to God. And you know, because he is God, he deserves our worship. Because he is God, we must submit our lives to him fully and completely. So that is the first place. You've got to recognize the Holy Spirit is God. But Holy Spirit is also a person. He has a mind. He has a will. He has emotions. You know, some people refer to Holy Spirit as it. Because they think Holy Spirit is a force of nature. Holy Spirit is not a force of nature. Holy Spirit is a person. And you know what's exciting about that? It means you and I can develop a personal relationship with Holy Spirit. He has a mind. What does that mean? It means the Holy Spirit perfectly knows the mind of God, and he helps us understand God's mind. This is how Paul explained it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 11 to 12. He said, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. You see, Holy Spirit perfectly knows all things. He is all-knowing. And so in all things and at all times, we must make sure that we are consulting Holy Spirit. You see, he perfectly knows your past, your present, and your future. Everything about you, he knows completely. And that means every day, when you get up in the morning and you pray, ask him for wisdom. Ask him for guidance. Why? Because he knows all things perfectly. He has a mind. He has a will. That simply means that Holy Spirit makes choices and he has preferences. That means in any situation that you find yourself, Holy Spirit has a choice of what you ought to do and what you ought not to do. He's very clear. In fact, in one instance, in Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, the Bible says, among the prophets and the teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon called the black man, Lucius from Cyrene, Manaen, the childhood companion of King Herod, and Saul. One day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. This is what the Holy Spirit said. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Holy Spirit chose Saul and Barnabas to do unique ministry among the Gentiles. He has a choice. In the same way, Holy Spirit has a choice or preference in each situation that we find ourselves. And you know, it boils down to the simple things of how you want to invest your money. Who you're going to marry? You must ask Holy Spirit. He has a will. He can choose. He can help you choose right. And this is the third one that ties in. Holy Spirit has emotions. He has feelings. He's a person. He also has feelings. And these feelings help us affirm his choice. They help you understand what his choice is. So when you do not walk according to the choice of Holy Spirit, he's saddened. The Bible uses the word grieving. When you walk in disobedience to Holy Spirit, he is saddened, he is grieved. In fact, Ephesians 4 tells us this. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good work and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you'll be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. And when we read that scripture, it becomes clear to us what Holy Spirit wants of us and what He doesn't want of us. And we can break His heart when we walk in disobedience to Him. So critically understanding that He is God, fully God, but He's a person that you can relate to with a mind, will, and emotions. And Holy Spirit plays such an important role in your life. That's why I'm encouraging you, develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He plays an important role in your life. Three real quickly. Number one, Holy Spirit helps us form Christ-like character in us. You see, when you give your life to Jesus, you have this deep desire to want to please Jesus. You want to live like Jesus. You want to honor Jesus. However, the challenge is this, that up to this point in your life, before you've given your life to Jesus, you have habits of a sinful way of life, and you have no idea how to conquer them. You know, if you want to break free from those habits and those things that easily cause you to fall into sin, it is Holy Spirit that will help you. And He helps you from the character of Christ in you to live a life that actually pleases God. We see this clearly in the life of Apostle Paul, who before he met Jesus was a murderous zealot. A guy who was passionate about the law and murdered everyone who called Jesus their Lord and Savior. But then when he meets Jesus, his life is completely changed. A man, the life he begins to live honors Jesus. And as a result, he's writing to the Galatian believers and he advises them this way. He says, "So I say," Galatians 5:16-25, "walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." He told them, "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, are done with their old way of living, with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." And so Holy Spirit helps us walk away from this lifestyle that does not please Jesus, and He helps us develop a lifestyle that pleases God. And I know that very well, because I've not been saved for all of my life. In fact, I was born a sinner. And I found myself trapped in all kinds of habits of sin, masturbation and the like. And man, I remember very well on this altar, in my senior six VAC, there was a conference here called "It's My Turn Now." And as teenagers would just throng this place, would come in numbers. And I remember one day they made a call, "Hey, you know, if there's some addictions in your life that you'd like to break free of those, why don't you come to the front? Let's pray and trust Holy Spirit to set you free." And on that day in my senior six VAC, I was set free. The Bible says, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." And so Holy Spirit leads us into a lifestyle that honors Jesus. And maybe you're here today and you're struggling with some of those issues. You don't need another person to just lay hands on you all the time. You need Holy Spirit to come into your life and break those chains, set you free. Holy Spirit also helps us in our journey of life. Holy Spirit helps us in our journey of life when we submit our lives to Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It is Holy Spirit that is given to us to help us live faithfully for Jesus. He also helps us to navigate all the situations we find in life. So Jesus, while speaking to his disciples, referred to the Holy Spirit as the helper. As the helper. Now, when we go to John 14, if you can turn there with me, John chapter 14, John chapter 15. In John chapter 14, we read verse 16 and 17. Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples. He's at the Lord's Supper. And he says, and I'll ask the Father in verse 16, and he will give you another helper. Because their hearts were troubled. They were worried that Jesus was going to die. He was predicting his death and they were worried. So he says, listen, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, because that is what he does. To be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive and take to its heart because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be in you. Man, we encounter situations in life where we need comfort, where we need help, and we don't know who to turn to. Turn to Holy Spirit. He is our helper. And in John chapter 15, in a separate conversation, we read from verse 5 to 12, Jesus again speaks about the Holy Spirit. He says, but I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you. And when he comes, he'll convict the world about the guilt of sin and the need for a Savior and about righteousness and about judgment, about sin and the true nature of it because they do not believe in me and my message. About righteousness, personal integrity and godly character because I'm going to my Father and you will no longer see me. About judgment and the certainty of it because the ruler of this world, who is Satan, has been judged and condemned. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear to hear them now. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, full and complete truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but he will speak whatever he hears from the Father, the message regarding the Son. And he will disclose to you what is to come in the future. He will glorify and honor me because he, the Holy Spirit, will take from what is mine and will disclose it to you. All the things that the Father has in mind, because of this, I say that he, the Spirit, will take from what is mine and reveal it to you. And in all these things, Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us faithfully live for Jesus. Amidst all the challenges that we face and the tests that we face, all the issues that we encounter every day, it is Holy Spirit that has been given to help us live for Jesus. But also, as Jesus is talking to his disciples, he's talking to them as he's going to leave this great assignment for them. And he's telling them, I've given Holy Spirit to you to help you carry the assignment that is on your life. And as Watoto Church, God has poured his Holy Spirit out on us so that we can be able to bring healing to the city and to the nation. But it's not enough for you to know that Watoto Church has been anointed by God to do this. Are you anointed as a member? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit as a member so that you can be part of bringing healing to the city and to the nation? Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, I'm going to make sure that I empower you to fulfill two things: living for me and fulfilling my assignment to reach the world. So he used words like comforter, standby, strengthener, counselor. That's who Holy Spirit is. He comforts us. He's there with us in every situation. You are not alone. I think about the pressure of living in a city like this where there are so many standards of life. In fact, you find it now in our advertising where there's a lot of sexual connotative language. You find people are trying to market text messages with data and something, and they call it a threesome. And there's another one that has been used recently by a very popular network in the city. You know what I'm talking about. You buy the airtime. You know what I'm talking about. tweweko. Not so. This is the languaging. And sometimes you find that this becomes standards of life and they find their way into our language and the way we think. And how are we going to stand out for purity and for righteousness? Only if Holy Spirit helps us keep the standards. We need Holy Spirit. In practical things like that. But in terms of even as Watoto Church, where we planted in Gulu and Juba, at that time, very difficult and dangerous places to plant a church. But because we are carrying out the mission of God to bring healing to the city and to the nation, He anointed Joe and the team went to Gulu. They also went to Juba. Holy Spirit helps us fulfill those assignments. As you lose a loved one, Holy Spirit comforts you. As you go through a difficult time, He's there to help you. So Holy Spirit also equips us with gifts. Such an important role. And this is what we want to focus on for the next 3 weeks. Talking about the gifts that Holy Spirit gives you and I. And these gifts have been given to us to serve our community. Spiritual gifts are supernatural abilities that are graciously given to us by the Holy Spirit. Gives them to every believer. Not some believers, but to every believer. So that you can serve the people around you. And so that God's will is done in a given situation. Whether you're in community, whether you're in your office, in your company, whether you're in Chikubo as you slice your deals, wherever you find yourself in life, Holy Spirit equips us with gifts to be able to serve. That's what Paul explained in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11. Said there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. He's none that distributes them, Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. In other words, He gives you these gifts so that everyone can benefit. One, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom and a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers and prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each just as He determines. And so for every single one of us, He has given us a gift. And we're going to get into that next 3 weeks to see why He does that. And what is His purpose in giving us these gifts. But you recognize you don't have to qualify in order to receive these gifts. They are gifts given by the grace of God. Freely given to us so that we can walk in these gifts. So He plays an important role in our lives, forms Christ-like character in us, helps us in our journey of life every day. But He also equips us with gifts so that we can serve each other and serve the community around us. Now, knowing that is very good, but experiencing it is even better. So what is your response now that you know that Holy Spirit wants to empower you to serve? How do you respond to knowing that He wants to form Christ-like character in you and equip you with gifts and to help you in life? This is what the Bible tells us. We are to simply desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. To desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. When I talk about baptism in the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about a separate experience that comes after you've given your life to Jesus Christ, where you are infused with the presence and the power of Holy Spirit with a renewed freedom to serve. You know, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, yes, Holy Spirit does reside on the inside of you. In fact, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. But He's reserved for you another experience that the Bible calls baptism in the Holy Spirit, where He infuses and releases gifts and abilities within you to be effective as a believer. And the Bible tells us that each and every single one of us is to desire this experience. It takes your life as a believer and your effectiveness as a witness for Jesus to the next level. Now the Bible tells us of stories in Acts 10 where the Gentiles at Cornelius' house received the baptism in the Holy Spirit and they spoke in other tongues. The disciples of John the Baptist in Ephesus, you see in Acts chapter 19, also received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, released to do incredible things. We see this in the life of Paul, even in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One day as he's being baptized by John the Baptist, Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and he took his ministry to the next level. I remember in 2003, in a room that we used to call the Timothy class. In fact, at that time, it was even called the Upper Timothy class. There's the Upper Timothy class and Lower Timothy class. We're in the Upper Timothy class. And we were there and we completed our discipleship class. It was called Adventure in the Word. And we'd come and to the end of the discipleship class, and the last class was on the Holy Spirit. And having been taught about that, we were then encouraged to desire the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit would come upon us and empower us to be effective as believers, to live spirit-empowered lives and to release gifts within us and ability to be able to serve those around us. And that day we prayed. I remember very well in the Upper Timothy class who were there, it was Pastor Eddie who was leading the class. At that time, it wasn't Pastor Eddie, was still at university, and another lady who we used to call Mama, they were teaching the class. And we began to pray. And as I was there, just in my heart saying, Holy Spirit, I receive you. I welcome you into my life. Fill me with your power. May your presence change me. And I remember just feeling so good. Feeling so good as this Holy Spirit came upon me. And I just felt like, man, there was something new I was receiving. And suddenly, man, I began to speak in other tongues. I released my tongue and I began to speak. And God gave me a prayer language and I began to express myself. And it was one of the most amazing experiences ever. And from that day, my Christian life never remained the same again. Completely changed. I began to discover gifts in my life that I didn't know were even existent. I was one of the most fearful people, but God released me to be bold and to step out in front of people and lead and begin to sing. And before I knew it, I discovered my gift to lead worship. I didn't know it was there. God began to release things in me. And along the way, Holy Spirit has continued to bring. I never thought I would preach ever in my life. I remember when I was asked to go to Kansanga, so afraid. I was like, I've never preached to someone in my life. I didn't know Holy Spirit was already releasing a gift. So I stand here not because of any kind of experience, but because Holy Spirit touched me and released things in me. Let me tell you, when you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it will change your life forever. Holy Spirit is in this place today. Yes, He wants to form Christ-like character in you. He wants to help you in your journey of life so you're not alone. The presence and the power of God will be with you. But He wants to release gifts in your life. How do you receive that? When you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. When He soaks you in His power. And infuses you with the freedom and gifts and abilities to serve people around you. And our prayer today is that you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I hope you sense a hunger and a desire in your heart today to say, Lord, I'm not leaving until you baptize me in the Holy Spirit. I want to receive you, Holy Spirit. Do something supernatural in my life today. I hope that is your desire. And I promise you, as you desire, as you open up your life and say, Lord, fill me. Today He's going to fill you just as it was on the day of Pentecost. So shall it be today here at Watoto Church downtown. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope this message has inspired you to spread the love of Jesus. If you would love to know more information about us, please visit www.watotochurch.com.